Welcome back to Finding Relisha. On our last episode, we learned about Khalil Tatum, his wife's murder, his own apparent suicide, and we still came no closer to finding out what happened or where Relisha Rugg could be. At this point in the case, we now have a murder, a suicide, and a missing child. Despite Tatum's suicide, police haven't given up hope on finding Relisha. On December 10th, 2015, police cadets fanned out across a desolate construction site in Northeast Washington near a hotel that was one of the last places Relisha was seen with Tatum. Though D.C. police would not say what drew them to the 15-acre triangular-shaped lot off of Bladensburg Road and New York Avenue, up to 80 searchers and canine dogs trained to smell cadavers combed through the weeds and over mounds of hard clay nonetheless. According to police, the 2015 search was of a construction lot that was once considered to be a Walmart store. And at the time, you know, it was more active when Relisha went missing in 2014, but now it just sits vacant. Police said at the time that a fence that now surrounds the area was not there, so it would have allowed easy access to somebody wanting to enter into that bare construction site. Still, the lot has sat empty for months. It slopes downward from Bladensburg Road and has large expanses of barren clay that police said makes digging very difficult. Deep trenches cut through the property, and there are clumps of weeds and dead trees all around. There's a pile of concrete from a demolished building, and debris litters the yard. The cadets still spread out at arm's length, trotting over the lot, stopping at anything that looked suspicious or interesting. For example, like a discarded sweatshirt. You know, something that might tie them to a case or a child, anything like that. And if they found something of that nature, they would mark it with a red ribbon. At about 11 a.m., searchers stopped in a rugged area near a paved path close to Bladensburg Road. One officer made a call on his phone asking for help to, quote, dig up a bag, end quote. It was not long before a van from the medical examiner's office arrived and three investigators hovered around a spot near that scaggly tree. A police officer took a rake and a shovel from the backseat of the cruiser and carried them to the spot. Authorities brought in several backhoes and other construction equipment, even planning at one point to take apart the concrete pile altogether. But police later said that when the canine dogs came over, they smelled nothing as they roamed over the pile. I'm going to stop for a minute and talk on these dogs because I know a lot of people, especially if they're not well-versed with animals, they feel like sometimes dogs can't be trusted with something like this. But I'm going to say, you know, dogs, they aren't perfect. You know, neither are we. According to an article by Slate.com, cadaver dogs learn to spot the smell of death and find its source during the training process, which involves exposing them to either actual human remains like blood, teeth, or bones, or a pseudo-scent, an artificial substance that recreates the death odor. There's actually a chemical company that makes several types of these pseudo-scents to help train cadaver dogs specifically for that person. The training these dogs go through also helps them to learn to differentiate the difference between the smell of a human remain and an animal remain. Ultimately, a dog's utility depends on the skill of its handler. Identifying false signals is an important part of working with a cadaver dog, and results should be backed with forensic testing. However, when a cadaver dog gives a signal such as barking or sitting down to indicate that it has smelled a corpse, a handler can only say something along the lines of, "My dog is giving an indication consistent with human blood." He can't definitively say one way or another that, yeah, a body was present. I know cadaver dogs have been a big thing in searches for Relisha, so I really wanted to inform you guys about how this works and the accuracy and, you know, just things about these dogs so you can form your own opinion about the accuracy of their work. Me personally, I believe dogs over humans any day of the week, but that's just because I'm a dog person. So cadaver dogs, like I said, they're trained quickly and effectively to locate cadavers and remains. I found an article on Medium.com about five things you probably didn't know about canine cadaver dogs, and I feel like it could be of use when thinking about the use of these dogs in malicious case. Studies have found that not only are cadaver dogs 95% accurate at their craft, they can also smell remains up to 15 feet underground. These dogs can detect remains up to 30 meters underwater and sometimes need just a mere fraction of a bone or even a tiny drop of blood to determine the location of a cadaver. When it comes to stamina, the dogs can cover 1.3 square kilometers per day on an average basis, working with ferocity that will not rest until the cadaver is detected. Cadaver dogs require roughly 1,000 hours of training before they are able to perform in the field. That's more training than goes into many trade skills and other jobs that can be performed by humans today. These dogs are trained as thoroughly as possible, making them a highly valuable, lucrative investment for any agency or organization. And that is why they are so valuable in searching for Relisha. And honestly, if these dogs say she's not there, that's a good thing. That means her remains aren't there. That means there is still hope. Another interesting thing that could be useful, especially in this case, is that cadaver dogs can detect residue scent. So if you don't know what that means, a residue scent is like if a body or a body part was initially placed in one place, but then later moved by the killer elsewhere, that cadaver dog can still identify the scent of death in the area, providing experts with more critical information in closing a case. These dogs help provide closure to so many families, and I hope with their help that we can find Relisha and narrow down our search, one way or another. In April of 2016, the DC police launched another search for Relisha. This time, the focus was of the concentrated grounds of the U.S. National Arboretum in Northeast Washington. Chief of Police Miss Kathy Lanier had with her 60 members from her force, the FBI, and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Once again, they also brought in cadaver dogs, but that was not all. This time, divers would be coming in. The divers would be tasked with searching the murky pond waters on the grounds. At the time this happens, we are 2 years into the disappearance of Relisha Rudd, and the police have kept true to tracking down and following up on any information they receive that may lead them to a different search area or different people they need to speak with. To my knowledge, it has never been officially said what led police to search here or what has or has not been found. I did, however, find out about another search. This search actually took place in late January of 2018. In this search, police focused on an area in Anacostia Park near a boat ramp north of Pennsylvania Avenue and south of a set of railroad tracks. This is an area of several winding footpaths and a roller skating pavilion in Southeast Washington. It was the latest of several searches to find any sign of Relisha. Police did say that a tip led investigators to this new location, which authorities said included the water of the Anacostia River. Police said in a statement that they received a tip that, quote, potential evidence, end quote, related to the case might be found. The search this time lasted about 6 hours and ended shortly after noon and began all the way in the early morning hours. Finding Relisha has been a priority for police, her family, and teams of volunteers that have spent weekends searching on their own. Friends and family have thrown birthday parties themed, "Where is Relisha?" and some officers even have her picture taped to the windshields of their cruiser. Of the approximate 19,000 people reported missing in the district since 2012, a little more than a dozen cases remain unsolved. Relisha's is one of them. Regardless of how many searches have turned up empty-handed, DC's chief of police refuses to stop until every lead is exhausted. But with the desperate searches turning up no leads, heads started turning and fingers started pointing. Police were really wanting answers from Relisha's mother and her boyfriend, Antonio Wheeler, because of a recent unusual activity. In the days after Relisha was last seen alive, Shamika's boyfriend, Antonio Wheeler, posted pictures on Facebook of large rolls of $50 bills, and I believe these rolls were like all wadded up in between his teeth. Also, Air Jordan sneakers bought for Relisha's three brothers were posted on Facebook as well. Now, Air Jordans are a tricky thing. I work at a store where we sell them. If you get Jordans that are True Flights, Max Aura, Be Loyal, Six Rings, those are on the cheaper end, but they still will run you anywhere between like $85 and $100-something. But if you get like the real deal, like the Jordan 1 retros, Jordan 2s, you know, basically any Jordan with a number behind it that's a retro, that's some serious money for a shoe. So I can see why it piqued the interest of the police. According to police, they believe that Shamika let Khalil take Relisha and she was last seen alive with him weeks before police say he killed his wife and then himself. DC police have also accused Relisha's mother of misleading them about Relisha's whereabouts when she first went missing. As much as the family feels that there has been a lack of communication between the police and the family, the police have stated that they feel misled.
According to Melissa, though, there is a reason for that.
She stayed where I was staying at for 16 days, from February the 10th to February the 26th. That's 16 days. From there, Mika called me and said, take her to Ashley's house, which is on 37th Place. From February the 26th to March the 1st, Relisha was on 37th Place. Mika picked Relisha up on March the 1st. That was the last time anybody seen Relisha. The whole time, we thinking Relisha at the shelter with Mika because she's sick. That's why nobody seen her in school.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we pretty much trying to fill in the pieces and trying to get, well, what happened? We trying to fill in a lot of gaps.
Yeah.
Because, see, they didn't check my timeline for the 16 days that I told them that I had them. And all of my stuff panned out. I even went on Steve Wilkos and took the lie detector and passed it. The only person that's not telling the story right is her mother. Because her mother's story done changed several times for the 6 years that she's been missing. Mine ain't changed yet.
Here's what some of the family had to say about the disconnect they feel with local PD.
If you was to ask me what they're doing on this case right now, I couldn't even tell you nothing. But for this case to drag on and on and on and you not say nothing to the family is not acceptable.
So you think if you could be more in contact with law enforcement, that would help you?
Oh, yeah. Law enforcement be in more contact with the family because I call down there first thing they tell me, oh, well, missing persons don't have her case no more. Homicide got it. That's what I get.
Because, you know, when we try to ask anybody in law enforcement that's, you know, that dealing with lost and missing people, they won't tell us that. You know, we would like to know whether or not they still looking for or have they made any type of progress, or whether they had any more suspects or anything, they don't tell us nothing. I even took it upon myself to email the mayor one time and question her in the police chief. I never got a response. I think it would be nice, you know, if they just, every once in a while, just let us know something, so that if we wouldn't have to be walking around, you know, totally in the dark and wondering about this and wondering about that.
One thing is for sure. Someone in this world knows something. They just need to be brave enough to speak up. Despite the lack of information surrounding her disappearance, Relisha's loved ones have been vocal about what they believe occurred. Before she went missing, they assumed that she was attending a pool party with Tatum's granddaughter. Another thing that happened that was pretty big for this case was when Shamika, Antonio, and Melissa all recently appeared on the Steve Wilkos show. And I actually found a clip on YouTube from that show, so I'm going to let you hear a little bit of it right now.
Come on with him.
Antonio, you came here, you took a lie detector test.
Steve, can I say something for you?
Sure.
I heard you back there.
You said, what you heard?
You said, I'm here because of you. I called this show.
Did you participate in any way in the disappearance of Relisha? You answer no. Have you ever had any sexual physical contact with Relisha? You answer no. Did you ever strike any of your children, leaving marks or bruises? You answered no. The results came back the same to each and every question, and they came back that Antonio told the truth.
You're going to be in jail.
Melissa, you took a lie detector test, and we asked you, did you participate in any way in the disappearance of your granddaughter? You answered no. Did you give your granddaughter to Khalil Tatum around the time of her disappearance? You answered no. And the results came back that you, Melissa, told the truth.
No test.
No. Hold on. She's right. She doesn't have to take a test.
I'm going to get my kids back.
You know, I know, but I ain't do nothing.
You know what? She's right. Please stop. You don't have to take a test, but you're not eliminating yourself as a suspect in the disappearance
of
your
daughter. Let me tell you something. Okay. Talk to the police day to day, and they don't never discuss me. They discuss other people.
I was the police, and I investigated murders, crimes against children, and I'll tell you right now, you would be number one on my list of people I'd be looking at.
You came down.
You ain't cleared either. And you still got a good chance of going to jail.
No.
There you go.
You going to jail, and I'm getting my boys back.
Someday, hopefully, that little girl is found.
Oh, she will.
And when she's found, then hopefully you'll go away.
No.
I believe something through your purpose of parents.
Okay. That's what you believe.
Janitor. Didn't have anything to do.
Everybody
wants to stick up with
him. And that makes me think
you had an inappropriate relationship with that man.
I did.
And you're lucky.
I'm lucky what?
You're saying, you don't believe that he killed himself?
I don't. You can't shoot yourself two times
in the head. That's right. Maybe somebody else did it for him, huh?
Okay. So who did it?
Ain't no murderer, huh?
Nope, my friends ain't on nothing.
You ain't no murderer, you say. And you know what? You're no good mother either. Get the fuck out.
Then, right after I found this clip, I was getting ready to record the episode, and I found another clip of Antonio after the show. And he said some interesting things, so I'm throwing that one in here as well. And you're also going to be able to go to the show notes and find the link to that as well.
Shamika, it surprised me that she didn't take the test, because it that didn't put the nail in the coffin. Like, why you didn't take no test? You had something? I think now I truly believe you had something. The most shocking thing she said that she didn't say, and I know she said it in my face, that she wasn't ready to be a mother no more. She said she didn't say that. And I said, you're lying. I think you're lying. I believe she know where Relisha is, and that Relisha is alive. She know exactly where she at now. She need to be locked up. I hope this show, and when this show airs, that the police and FBI, whoever is watching this, so she can be locked in. And I hope that Tyler Family Services sees it and give me my boys back.
Polygraphs were administered to both Antonio and Melissa. Both passed. Shamika Young declined to take the lie detector test. Sadly, Relisha's disappearance has caused friction between her family members who have pointed the finger at each other over the years for different situations regarding the case.
She didn't see me as her mother because she didn't grow up with me. You see what I'm saying? She was still blaming me for the fact of the matter is that she grew up in foster care, like I told her. That was done out of my control. I did everything right as your mother. Maybe I was too good of a mother. And you know, the person who said I wasn't doing y'all right saw that I was a good mother to y'all, so they had to find something to make up for y'all, you know. And when they investigated me, they didn't find nothing out of the ordinary on me. CPS found nothing on me. Their father was the reason why I lost my kids. Their father and my mother and the next door neighbor. You know, they saw how happy I was when I had my kids. Nobody liked it. And me trying to break the cycle on how my mother brought me up. So my kids would, you know, they coming up, but they coming up in a generation that they're born in.
Relisha's mother has said that she thought her daughter was in the care of her sister. Yet, as we heard on a previous episode, according to Ashley, she called her sister and got specific permission to release Relisha into the care of Tatum. Trying to sort out how Relisha went missing is like sorting through a blur of contradictions. Virtually everyone, and ultimately no one, is held accountable. Unfortunately, blaming everybody is going to mask some critical fact. Everybody wasn't responsible for Relisha's disappearance. Relisha was brought into this world by Shamika Young and Irving Rudd, her parents. It was her mother who moved a tiny little baby into a neighborhood strife with gunfire as plentiful as the air around her. But at the same time, it was a roof over her child's head, and it was what she could afford, so Shamika took the apartment. For every action, there is an equal or greater reaction, whether it be negative or positive. The choices we make impact those in our care. Relisha had a grandmother, aunt, and uncle who knew about her living conditions. Some people say that makes them equally as responsible for what happened to Relisha, but one thing I've learned is that there are two sides to every story. I don't want to take sides. My only side is on that of Relisha and what is best for her. Maybe the family should have reported the situation, but unless you know the reason why they did not, or at least why one family member did not, like I do, it's not fair to put them on trial for the actions of their loved one. With Relisha's case being so public, everyone wants to think they know about all the key people in this investigation, but they don't. I don't even know as much as everybody that's been involved has. I got to sit down and have several conversations with Melissa Young, and in one of those conversations, we had a long talk about why she handled things the way that she did, and that she'd have done things differently had she have known that harm was going to come to her precious Relisha.
I seen, like I told you, I don't know if Khalil was bringing Relisha back or they was leaving when I first saw him with her, and I said something to her mother. So, like that instance. And see, if I had known it was going to turn out the way it turned out, I would have called on her. I would have called the people on her. You know?
Yeah. Hindsight's always...
But me being a parent, I was like, if I called, you know, Child and Family Services on my daughter, she going to hate me because I had her kids removed and this and that and the third. I was looking at stuff like that. So that's why I didn't, you know, that's why I didn't call, because I felt as though my daughter was going to hate me for doing what I knew was the right thing to do as a parent. And you know, sometimes us parents are put in between a rock and a hard shell.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, where we know
us calling the people is the right thing to do, but we don't do it because we don't want our child to think anything different of us or to hate us.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we do get put in certain situations where we make, you know, wrong decisions on our behalf as a parent, like me, myself. And like I just said, if I had known things was going to turn out the way it turned out, I would have just took that as my, that hatred from my daughter. At least my granddaughter would have still been here.
Yeah.
That's something I would have took, was that hatred, you know. But me, being as though my kids grew up in foster care, I was afraid to lose my, you know, my child all over again, and she had already been away from me for 17 years.
Yeah.
And that was another thing I was, you know, I was battling with. Do I want to lose her again for good, or do I just, oh, okay, just do what she say, mind my business, and let her deal with the situation because that's her child. So I chose what the devil was telling me to do, mind your business, instead of doing what, you know, God's angel told me to do. Call them people. You know, your granddaughter, you know, is not in the right place right now, calling people. So, yeah. You know, sometimes I do beat myself up about it. That's why when they asked me that question in the beginning of the case, you know, if I can turn back the hands of time, what would I would have did different? And I told them straight up, me seeing Tatum with her, I would have called Child and Family Services and just dealt with my daughter hating me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I can, you know, if I can go back to 2014, I would. But I know I can't turn back the hands of time now. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So yes. Me, I was just pretty much, you know, I wasn't looking. I was blinded by my own feelings and losing my daughter for good after being away from my oldest child for 17 years. Not just her, but my other four kids too. Versus looking at the picture on where we are now. So, you know, and then too, I didn't know how to be a mother to a grown-up anyway, because when my kids came home, my kids was grown-ups. So I didn't know how to, you know, talk to them on that mother level.
Yeah.
So for me to step up to her and say, well, Shamika, you know, as a mother, Shamika, you know, you letting Relisha go with that man, you know, that we don't know, that's not good. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, if I would have did that, then who knows? She could have looked at me and said, well, it's funny you telling me something like that now when you didn't raise me, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I didn't know how to, you know, play that mother role to her when she had kids. Right. She coming home to me. She coming home already. She grown. Yeah. You know, she grown. She already. But, Ma, you can't tell me nothing. Where was you at when I was 12, 13, 14 years old? I ain't had time to hear all that. So, you know, I'm like, okay, my daughter home. It is what it is. I can't get back what I lost, so I'm going to have to take it from anew, you know, a fresh start. I'm going to have to work my way into that mother status with her, because right now she's not looking at me as a mother. And see, that's what it was when she put that blame on me.
Hopefully this gives you a better insight into why the family handled things the way that they did. I don't know how you feel about it or if this has changed your views for the better or worse. One thing I do ask, though, is that we not get so riled up with our clouded views, because that can cause us to lose sight of what really matters, finding Relisha. Don't let the need to put someone in front of a jury get in the way of the need for answers, the truth, and Relisha. You are all entitled to your feelings and your beliefs, but keep in mind, we have a common goal. All of you out there listening to these words that I have compiled into a story about the life and disappearance of a young 8-year-old from D.C. want the same thing as I do, as investigators do, as Relisha's grandmother, her aunt, her teachers, her step-grandfather do? We all want to find Relisha. Do not let anything get in the way of that. Once we find Relisha, life will play out accordingly. Until then, it's not about the drama, or the he said, she said, or anything, or who came on the scene first, or any of that other bullcrap people let get in the way. You guys, we are trying to find a missing child. I can't stress that enough, how important that is. We cannot let our feelings get in the way of finding Relisha. Next time on Finding Relisha. In the last episode of the series, which does not include any of the bonus episodes that are to come, I will talk about the aftermath of Relisha's disappearance. I will tell you how it's changed life at the shelters and everything as a whole.
He's up. Come on with him.
Antonio, you came here. You took a lie detector test.
Steve, can I say something for you?
Sure.
I heard you back there. You
I
said
what you heard.
You said I'm here because of you. I called this show.
You are here because of me, because they already told me that to authorize it because it's my daughter. Now listen to that.
Listen. I ain't trying to hear none of that.
Can you go on with them results? Because I came here for you to prove to me.
No, I'm not proving that to you. I'm
you ain't saying
that.
That's why I'm here.
Well,
Antonio, you came here, took a lie detector test, and we asked you, did you participate in any way in the disappearance of Relisha? You answer no. Have you ever had any sexual physical contact with Relisha? You answer no. Did you ever strike any of your children, leaving marks or bruises? You answered no. The results came back the same to each and every question, and they came back that Antonio told the truth.
You're going to be in jail.
No.
You're going to be in jail.
You just gave two.
Melissa, you took a lie detector test, and we asked you, did you participate in any way in the disappearance of your granddaughter? You answered no. Did you give your granddaughter to Khalil Tatum around the time of her disappearance? You answered no, and the results came back that you, Melissa, told the truth.
No test.
No.
Hold on. She's right. She doesn't have to take a test.
I'm going to get my kids back.
You know, I know, but I ain't do nothing.
You know what? She's right. Please stop. You don't have to take a test, but you're not eliminating yourself as a suspect in the disappearance of your daughter.
Let me tell you something. Okay. I talk to the police day to day, and they don't never discuss me. They discuss other people.
I was the police, and I investigated murders, crimes against children, and I'll tell you right now, you would be number one on my list of people I'd be looking at.
You came down. I was number one first. You came down.
You ain't cleared either. And you still got a good chance of going to jail.
No.
There you go.
You going to jail, and I'm getting my boys back.
Someday, hopefully, that little girl is found.
Oh, she will
and
be.
And when she's found, then hopefully you'll go away.
No.
I believe something through your third disappearance.
Okay.
In fact,
that's what you believe.
Janitor. Didn't have anything to do.
Everybody got their own.
Everybody wants to stick up in
her.
It makes me think you had an inappropriate relationship with that man.
I did.
And you're lucky. You're lucky.
I'm lucky. What?
You're saying you don't believe that he killed himself?
I don't. You can't shoot yourself two times in the head.
That's right. Maybe somebody else did it for him, huh?
Okay. So who did?
You ain't no murderer, huh?
Nope, my friends ain't on nothing.
You ain't no murderer, you say. And you know what? You're no good mother either. Get the off my.
Then, right after I found this clip, I was getting ready to record the episode, and I found another clip of Antonio after the show. And he said some interesting things, so I'm throwing that one in here as well. And you're also going to be able to go to the show notes and find the link to that as well.
It. Tamika, it surprised me that she didn't take the test, because it that did put the nail in the coffin. Like, I didn't take no tests. And you had something? I think now I truly believe you had something. The most shocking thing she said that she didn't say, and I know she said it. She said it in my face, that she wasn't ready to be a mother no more. She said she didn't say that. And I said, you're lying. I think you're lying. I believe she know where Relisha is, and that Relisha is alive. She know exactly where she at now. She needs to be locked up. And I hope when this show airs, that the police and FBI, whoever is watching this, so she can be locked up. And I hope that Tyler Family Services sees it and give me my boys back.
People go missing every day. And as more and more go missing, the pile of case files on that desk that some poor officer has to go through and try to bring answers to all of these families thickens. And as the pile thickens, cases get pushed to the back. And as cases get pushed to the back, some people's loved ones may remain missing forever. That's why this podcast is here. I want to give families a voice and tell the victim's stories so that we never forget, so that they're always in the media, and hopefully we can bring them home one day. If you have any information on Relisha at all, or even think that there is a possibility that you might, please reach out to us. Call Metro PD at 202-727-9099, or you can send a text to the anonymous line at 50411. You may also contact the FBI at 1-800-CALL-FBI. You may also dial 1-800-THE-LOST. If you do not wish to contact law enforcement directly, please reach out by dialing non-law enforcement at 202-491-2327.